postpartum body odor. It is a totally natural phenomenon because your body chemistry changes after giving birth. And so sometimes that means that what worked before is no longer effective. But I am excited to say that now there is a solution for that stubborn odor. The Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is a completely natural deodorant made by a postpartum mom who went through it herself. And it works by eliminating and preventing bacterial body odor without covering up your skin's comforting smell to your baby while giving you 12 hours of odor control. And let me tell you, it actually works. Here at the house, we've all been trying it and loving it. Now, before you think, ew, you're sharing a deodorant with your husband and daughter, let me explain that this full body deodorant comes in a convenient pump applicator that lets you apply it anywhere on your body with no bacteria traveling on the deodorant, so no ew involved. We also love that the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant has a delightful natural scent of USDA certified organic extracts that smell like a pink sugar cookie with lemon frosting. I thought this would be a little strange, but it's actually amazing. Also, the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is free from artificial fragrances and any kind of senoestrogens or herbs that can interfere with breastfeeding. Find your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant at postpartumdeodorant.com. That's postpartumdeodorant.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off through the month of May. Get your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant now at postpartumdeodorant.com and start smelling more like yourself again. Now that we're in full spring mode, I am constantly reaching for my Jenny Kane Crop Cashmere Cocoon Cardigan because I find it is the perfect level of warm and cozy for when there's still a light chill in the air, but I don't want a coat. And like so many of Jenny Kane's bestsellers, this 100% cashmere cardigan is just so versatile. So I can wear it on its own over dresses, short sleeves, long sleeves, with slacks or jeans. It works with all of it, which is a really good thing because I just never want to take it off. And of course, this cardigan has the impeccable and luxurious level of craftsmanship that you can expect from all of Jenny Kane's products. Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and so think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Because they are a sponsor of the podcast, for a limited time, our listeners can get 15% off their first order while supporting our show. Go to jennykane.com and use the code BIRTHFUL15 to get 15% off. Now, I know that I go on and on about Jenny Kane sweaters because I'm frankly obsessed, but they also have everything you could want to finish out your look. They have dresses, shoes, and even a stunning collection of home essentials. Curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style at jennykane.com. As a Birthful listener, get 15% off your first order when you use the code BIRTHFUL15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code BIRTHFUL15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Welcome to Birthful Mighty Parent or Parent-to-Be. I'm Adriana Lozada, and as we get ready to close up our series on movement and body wellness in pregnancy, I am just super excited about today's conversation because we're going to talk about some ways that you can have a happier pelvic floor and a happier you during pregnancy. And you maybe haven't given your pelvic floor much thought during this time, other than to maybe cringe at the thought of tearing during birth. But if the ever-growing supermarket incontinence aisles tell us anything, is that we should be paying more attention to our pelvic floor health. And as I see those aisles grow, I also wanted to give you some numbers on how it relates to pregnancy and postpartum. So here you go. A study from June 2023 on urinary incontinence in the postpartum one-year period found that urinary incontinence is a prevalent problem affecting approximately one-fifth of women, and that this problem negatively affects the psychological and social dimensions of their health. Yeah, no kidding. It's easy to see how peeing yourself a little when you laugh, when you sneeze, when you strain, cough, or exercise, how that is going to impact your mood and your ability to socialize. The good news is that there are plenty of simple actions that you can do during pregnancy to help you have a happier pelvic floor, not just for pregnancy and birth, but really just for life. And that is what we've got for you today. My guest is the incredible Lindsay McCoy, who is an exercise physiologist, a birth doula, childbirth educator, and she's the founder of the Body Ready Method. Even though the main focus here of this conversation is on having a happier pelvic floor, I really love how we ended up highlighting the connection between your nervous system and your pelvic soft tissues, and how really paying attention to your mental health is just as important as providing your body with many ways to move. I also really appreciate Lindsay's approach on how to incorporate these shifts into your daily life so that they aren't another thing on your to-do list, but rather that they become new movement habits. You're listening to Birthful, here to inform your intuition. Welcome, Lindsay, to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into it, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm Lindsay McCoy. I am an exercise physiologist turned birth doula. I have attended hundreds of births since 2009. I started Body Ready Method. It was started as a prenatal exercise program, preparing the body for birth, the pelvic floor and core, you know, having a more functional pregnancy. And then a few years later, we started our BRM Pro course. And so we teach doulas and nurses and midwives and PTs and OTs and anyone who works with pregnant and birthing bodies. We teach about, you know, the physiology of this process, about how to prepare the body for birth and how to support birth. So I say we're shifting the paradigm of prenatal prep and birth support. And it's really about understanding the body, understanding kind of how it works and moves through pregnancy and birth, and some different compensations, which I know we're probably going to talk about in this podcast, and really teaching us how to feel better in our bodies during pregnancy, how to have more efficient births. I feel like we are really needing to reclaim this process. You know, it's been what midwives of generations past have intuitively known. You know, we see, like, for example, Cleopatra's depiction of her birth. She's reaching her arms up. Why is she doing that? Now we know. We have the physiology to understand. And so we're really reclaiming pregnancy and birth. And I love it. You know, I'm the daughter of a former labor and delivery nurse, now retired, granddaughter of a OBGYN. My father-in-law's OBGYN. So I'm just... I said I wasn't going into birth, I was going into exercise, and it called me, and it's now I really feel like I was put on this earth to do what I'm doing now. So it feels really, I feel very grateful to be doing the work that I'm doing.
Oh, and we're all very grateful for all the work you're doing, because it is, I mean, those genes called you and said, get over here. And we need to improve outcomes and improve more than outcomes, improve experiences for birthing and pregnant people. And this episode is part of our movement and body wellness and pregnancy series. And I really want to talk to you about what you were mentioning, how those discomforts that we're having in the body, how people can ease them through movement, because in pregnancy, it's such a state where your body, the body changes in so many ways in order to adapt to having that growing baby in the uterus, where your center of gravity shifts, your ligaments loosen, your abdominals expand, and your pelvic floor and the pelvis do take the brunt of many of the changes, which can mean general aches and pains, but sometimes it's bigger stuff like pubic symphysis separation or lower back pain, persistent, or SI joint pain, incontinence, all of those things. Yeah. And we understand that movement can really play a key role into easing those discomforts. So I think let's start there. What can people do to help them ease those discomforts?
Yeah. So I feel like the first thing with discomfort is we often see a symptom like incontinence or back pain. And we go like the method of a lot of people is like, okay, let's spot treat. Like I have back pain, so I need to like stretch my back, or I have knee pain, so I need to like do my knee exercises, or, you know, I have incontinence, I need to do a bunch of Kegels. And we don't realize that that symptom is the expression of a compensation pattern. It's not the issue itself, it's its expression. So a lot of times we already, you know, we live in high heels, we sit a lot, we move in a variety of less optimal ways, and we don't move a lot in general in our society. And as a result, I kind of liken it to like a group project, because that's the easiest way I can explain it, is like all of our parts are doing their best job to like support this group project of like moving us through space with, you know, with function. And of course, with pregnancy, helping us move through pregnancy with less pain and with you know, easier birth and things like that. And what happens in this group project, if you've probably been in a group project, like, I don't know about you, but I'm like the overdoer, like I want to get an A, so I like to overdo. And then, you know, as some other people, maybe, you know, it's not their fault, maybe I'm overdoing, so they are like, okay, you got it. I'm good. And so they start slacking, or they're not doing their job. And the same thing kind of happens in our body. All of our parts are kind of trying to work and do their work, but our body wants us to move through the world. And so if something isn't working well, something else is going to pick up the slack and it's going to overwork. And so what happens is some stuff overworks, some stuff underworks. Now we don't have balance in the system. And then we have a symptom, right? And often that symptom is like that overworker is like, I'm so tense. And so we think, oh, I'll take that overworker and that overdoer and I'll give him a massage. I'll, you know, give him a sip of water and tell him to go chill on the deck or whatever, you know? But in a muscle, it's like we often do body work, which is beautiful and amazing, right? Like these things are really valuable. But if we haven't also got the slacker addressed, we haven't taught, let's say it's the glutes, like we haven't got the glutes to really do their job. So like somebody else is hanging on for dear life. Otherwise, like a massage or all like adjustment, which are beautiful, you know, you go back to using the body the way it's been used for the last 20 years, it's going to go back to the same stuff. And so I think pregnancy gets blamed a lot when it's really just, we're adding a lot onto an already maybe dysfunctional body and now we're getting a symptom. And that's not to say like, oh, you're so terrible because you have this dysfunction. We all have to live in this world. We have sudden stops in gravity. We have injury. We have sports, which are great, but we use the body in one, you know, intense way. And so the body adapts to get good at that sport, but it's not always the best for maybe some functions. And so it's a long way of saying that with pain, we can never really spot treat it. That's kind of like picking a dandelion. You know, like, I don't know if you have dandelions where you live, but if you pick that, like, what's going to happen the next day? Like, you're going to have a dandelion again because the root is so deep. And so my whole way of working with pain in pregnancy is really trying to address it in a whole body perspective, how all of our parts work together. And the pelvic floor is just one of those parts. It's just the bottom of the core system. So it really gets blamed, but it's just doing its best with what everything else is asking it to do.
Well, and I think it's a great point to say that this is happening all the time in our bodies. Like, this is how our body functions, but pregnancy does kind of bring out or highlights those things, because kind of the stasis that you're used to, how you move in space, you are being asked to shift all that as your center of gravity shifts. So these muscles were like, well, we were good in this adaptive position for whatever you were asking me to do. But now we're like way out here and I can't adapt anymore because I was already over adapting. So here's your pain.
Yeah, it's a lot. And actually the interesting thing when you bring up center of gravity shift, like as the belly grows in the front and we say, okay, now my center of gravity should shift forward. But the really interesting thing is if we don't allow the pelvis to get pulled into what's called the anterior tilt or pulled like the whole translated forward, I actually, I say pregnancy is the best butt workout ever, right? Like actually, as the belly grows, the glutes and the whole posterior, you know, leg muscles should grow and strengthen to like balance that out. But we haven't learned how to use our bodies in that way, right? Like we haven't really, you know, when people say listen to your body, like often that's what we're told, like just do what you've already done or listen to your body. A lot of people just haven't, we've never been taught to listen to our bodies.
That's so like, my pet peeve is when people say like, trust your intuition.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Teach me how to do like, that, wait, right?
Let's break like that from, down. How do, yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it's a beautiful opportunity. Like pregnancy is a beautiful opportunity to address stuff because now we are having symptoms and we have this big event of birth coming up that we're worried about. And so it is a good opportunity to become embodied. And to, like you said, and to learn how to access your intuition. Because I don't think I knew how to access my intuition until I had babies. That was like what broke the, like shattered and broke it all open for me. So I think it's beautiful if we can use it.
Yeah. And it's so connected also to listening to your body, right? Like it all, it's all full circle.
Yes.
Love this idea that pregnancy is the best butt workout ever and letting your, that visual of letting your pelvis move fully into that anterior tilt. We often see people compensating so much by doing the opposite, like tucking in the tailbone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So broad strokes, like when we're talking about how can people ease the discomforts and we're not going to spot treat because that's not the solution. What are those broad strokes of where should people be focusing their attention and moving differently to kind of minimize those aches or have a more balanced pregnancy?
That's a great question. I love that because we get so stuck in the theory. It's like, what, how, okay, what do I do with this? So it's perfect. So I have found that my first like really simple, easy tip is to not focus so much on stretching and to focus more on stability and strength. Because the thing, and this was me too, and coming from even someone who was like working in a degree in exercise physiology, I still did not understand. And I thought, okay, I want my birth to be easier. Like I'm really worried about this small space and this big thing as we often are. And so what do? We do lots of hip openers. We do lots of stretching, lots of yoga, which has its place, but I actually was creating more pain in my body. I actually have some hypermobility. And so I really didn't need to stretch. Like I think there's this idea of like my birth's going to be easier if I'm more flexible. And it's really not about being more flexible. It's about having more dynamic function, having more responsiveness in the tissue. So I don't want a tight pelvic floor. I want a responsive pelvic floor. You know, it can respond when I sneeze and not leak urine, but it can also respond when a baby's passing through it to yield, right? I think my biggest thing with the pain and dysfunction is a lot of times for a lot of people, it's actually more of a stability issue. Like we need stronger glutes. We need all the glutes, like the side of glutes, the lateral hips, like the gluteus medius is a big one, the gluteus max, like all, and the posterior chain is often very in need of more strength. And there is some mobility too, but mobility is different than flexibility because mobility is the ability to be strong in all of our ranges of motion, where flexibility is just passive ability to, you know, lengthen a tissue. And so what we're really working on and what I teach people is not to just stretch, but to really, and if we could get into the nervous system, but like really get that tissue to learn how to be strong in all of its ranges of motion. And that's really tapping into the nervous system and our ability to feel safe in those ranges.
And I definitely want us to go down that rabbit hole of like movement and nervous system. But you were talking about stability. And it makes sense because with the stretching, the flexibility, your body's already giving you something to help you with that, which is relaxant. Like you're already looser than you were before. So you don't need to overdo it. Like you're already more than you were.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
How do you improve that stability? For example, I know that sitting is not something that our bodies like in general. It's only in the past so many years that we've started to be more sedentary in sitting. So for somebody who's just pregnant or not just pregnant, but head is pregnant and is like, oh, I'm feeling my body is really weird right now. How do I gain more stability?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I agree that we sit a lot. And while sitting isn't evil, it's one joint configuration of our pelvis and our hips. And Our body craves a variety. And so the first thing is, there's not one right position. It's like, what's your next position? So being aware of the fact that our body adapts not just to our exercise. Like, let's say I go to the gym and I exercise for, 20 minutes to an hour. That's amazing. That's great. But also, what are we doing for the rest of the day? And how is that potentially even undoing, so to speak, some of the work we've done? And I got four kids. I don't have time to do stuff that doesn't like move the needle. I don't think a lot of us, we have busy lives. And so I don't want to do something that then the rest of the day I'm undoing, so to speak. And so the beautiful thing of working smarter, not harder is like, let's learn about neutral pelvis. When I do sit, how do I sit in a way that holds my tissues at a better, length strength relationship? Or, when we tuck our pelvis under, now some of my tissues of my pelvic floor are held at a shortened length, and it just perpetuates some issues. And so learning about neutral pelvis is really easy and simple. If you have to sit at a desk, and we have lots of resources about that. It's kind of hard to show without like video, but it's essentially your pubic bone underneath your the sticky-outy hip bones in the top, called your anterior superior iliac spine. Yeah, and the thing is, I know we both like sit up now because that's the thing. Like, I don't want people to obsess and stress because I don't think that's helpful either. But simple shifts can be helpful. So I'll ask people to roll up a towel or sit on something under their sits bone so they can kind of relax forward into a more neutral position. And, and then the thing is, we need to walk more often, starting to teach and educate our tissues on how to work differently. So for example, when I brush my teeth, do I always round my spine or can I hinge at my hips and lengthen my posterior chain, right? And so that's, I work with a lot of, busy moms and busy families, and they don't always have time for the exercise. And so I'm always trying to help them learn like just simple ways of integrating it into your day. Like, can I do this movement while I'm brushing my teeth? Can I pick up my 10th, toy off the floor in a way that strengthens my glutes instead of, uses that same spot I always use, which is usually like the low back, right? And I call those stress risers. So like a place where you're always overusing, I kind of explain it as if you take a piece of paper and you fold it a lot of times in one spot, like where now I have a sudden stop in gravity, I have an injury, like a acute injury. Where do you think is the most likely spot for that injury to occur is that stress riser, right? And so it's like, oh, that injury is from that car accident. Yes, but where that injury occurred may have been a result of some chronic patterns in the body, which is kind of mind-blowing. And so that's why I love this work, not just for pregnancy, because it's like we all have our pelvises and our pelvic floors for life. Right? We don't get a new pelvic floor. And so I want mine to be like, I want to be like jumping on a trampoline with my grandkids, hopefully. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And pregnancy is a big time of injury. So this is the time where we want to get people healthy in their pelvic floors.
And I love that it goes back to what we were saying in the beginning of trusting your body, but first of all, connecting to your body and finding, being like a detective with it and finding these patterns that you do. I hadn't realized how much I dump, not anymore, but I used to like just dump into one hip as a comfort way of standing, of just like, blah, just all on one hip. And just thinking of, oh my gosh, look at what it does to all my body, how it shifts what makes it strong to those side glutes that you were talking about.
Yeah.
What's soft, what's strong. Like being a detective of your body, I think is there's so much value to it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's super fun. And I call it the lateral shift. So when you're kind of leaning on one hip, that's so common with new families. Like, what are we doing all day? We're holding a baby on the hip, right? Like everything. And we have our purse on one side. And let's like throw it out there that like none of us are balanced. Our bodies are never going to make it to like perfectly balanced. We have a liver on one side. The diaphragm is bigger on one side. And so the goal isn't to get to this like mythical place of perfectly balanced, but it is getting to this place of better function where all of our parts can communicate with each other and work well as a team.
Yum, delicious, tasty, super clean water. That is what we now happily drink, thanks to our AquaTrue Reverse Osmosis Water Purifier. It's just so much easier for us to stay hydrated. For me, that is vital because I am prone to getting headaches, and so being well hydrated really helps with that. And if you're pregnant or nursing, being well hydrated is also vital for you because good hydration is key during this time of life. AquaTrue purifiers use a four-stage reverse osmosis purification process that removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options. Also, their filters are affordable and long-lasting, with just one set of filters from their classic purifier making the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. Using AquaTrue water can even improve the taste of your coffee, tea, and anywhere else you use water to cook, like for making rice, quinoa, stocks, or soups. I truly can't say enough good things about my AquaTrue. AquaTrue also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code BIRTHFUL at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the promo code BIRTHFUL. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You've taken gorgeous photos of your baby or your kids, and then when you want to share them, it is a pain either trying to find the photos or figuring out the group text that they should go to, and then also remembering that, say, Aunt Helen only does email, so you need to send her image separately. Or, like in my case, where my husband is a photographer who takes magnificent photos that I rarely actually get to see because they live on his phone or end up scattered in text messages that I can't easily find. Enter the Family Album app, which was created to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with your loved ones. Basically, it's a personal space for your family's memories without third-party ads or unwanted eyes, and with a bunch of fabulous features. It automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and easily see how your child has grown. And you can also order 8 photo prints every month to be delivered to your home. The Family Album app also has unlimited storage. Plus, it's totally free. Yup, no more worrying about running out of space or being bombarded by third-party ads. So, to all the parents out there still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, level up your family photo game for free and securely with the Family Album photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, all in one word, and download the app to start creating your shared photo legacy. And I love so much how you said that our bodies crave a variety of, not so much, it's that thinking again back to that full range of motion and finding some strength throughout. So it's not, I'm always sitting in this way, but then it's almost like start brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand, switching that up. Right. But for your whole body.
Totally.
So you had mentioned a little bit about how movement relates to the nervous system as well. And I would love for us to go down that rabbit hole of how moving your body in a way that is more supportive and conscious of the movement itself can then help you be more calm. Tell me all about this.
Yeah. So the more I do this work, you know, I started in like muscles and exercise physiology, you know, worked in cardiac rehab for a while. The more I go into birth and the more I go into movement, the more I go to the nervous system and the breath, really, which is part of the nervous system, and just how the nervous system conducts it all. It's like the conductor of the birthing process, the conductor of the body and how all of our parts interact with each other. And I talk about the nervous system first when I teach people because it's again, it's going to, if I teach someone, let's say for birth, if I'm saying, okay, let's create space to open the bottom of your pelvis for pushing so baby can come out. That's amazing if it's needed and we need to create more space. However, if somebody is running in their head from an imaginary tiger, if they're not feeling safe, if they are upregulated in their nervous system, their body is trying to get somewhere safe. It's trying to, you know, slow or stop this process. And so I'm always telling the doulas and midwives and doctors and all nurses, all these people I'm teaching, like, address the flow state first, address the nervous system first, the safety, the confidence. And so we can also do that in pregnancy and in our movement. Because what I have found is how we hold our bodies, you know, like, you know, you see some people, you know, puff up their chest and they're like, you know, pull their shoulder blades back. Other people kind of tuck their tails and they're kind of more collapsed inward and rounded forward. And we see those as expressions of the nervous system and their ability to show up in the world. And what I mean by that is when we perceive a threat, it doesn't have to be a real threat. Like if there's a tiger chasing me, I need to be able to react, respond, and get somewhere safe. I need to be able to upregulate, run, maybe I get to a cave, and then I downregulate. And so what happens if I perceive that threat, and it goes haywire in modern society because it's not an actual tiger, it's like perpetual and a lot of stress and trauma. And so what happens is I perceive that, I upregulate, my pupils dilate, my heart rate increases, my blood pressure increases, blood is shunted to my extremities so I can fight or flight, fawn or freeze. Okay, and so one of those responses is fight. And what do we do when we fight? Like what would be a fight? We would puff up the chest to get big, thrust the ribs up, find an anterior tilt in the pelvis. This is so I can run or I can fight, you know? And we see people living in this state of upregulation for years, myself included, right? So in 2020, you know, I went through a lot of stuff in addition to the global pandemic. And I didn't even, what did I do to react to that stress is I added more stress. I did my Peloton, lots of stress. And my body reacted, right? I had all of these, my digestive issues, skin issues, et cetera. Because our body reacts to our nervous system, and I was in a constant state of stress. So some people, it's this puff up the chest, I want to fight. What do we do when we're scared and we want to run away? What does a dog do? They tuck their tail, right? They tuck their tail under. And so other of us are our nervous system's response to our perpetual stress and trauma is that kind of flight, right? And that's kind of me. I kind of go into, if you ever, you know, you've maybe seen it or heard people say, like, if you kind of sleep with the, what do they call it, dinosaur arms, like you sleep kind of curled in a ball, look at the nervous system, right? Because that's us trying to be safe. And so if I just say, oh, you have thrusted ribs, just drop your ribs. But I haven't addressed why those ribs are lifted because I don't feel safe in the world and I'm in fight mode, it's not going to be as effective, right? And so biomechanics can only go so far if we're not also addressing it through the lens of the nervous system. So I guess that's my response to that. But you definitely see, you know, I've worked with a lot of different populations, you know, some of them living in a lot of stress, and you see it in how they hold their bodies.
How does this translate, or how do you see it translate directly to the pelvic floor? Because to be honest, we talk a lot about the pelvic floor because it kind of plays such a key role in pregnancy and giving birth. But unless you're in that time of your life and that season, it's not something that we actually focus on much, right? Like yeah. We tend to focus even more on crunches or core or, you right. know, or doing arm day and leg day, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Of course.
So how do you see, because the pelvic floor is very complex, and it is very sensitive to our nervous systems.
Yeah, it is. And it's part, so the pelvic floor is the bottom of the core system. And so the top of the core system is our respiratory diaphragm. So you could call it like your pelvic diaphragm and your respiratory diaphragm. And when we breathe, and I'm sure you've had people talk about this on your podcast before, but when we breathe, they're interacting with each other really well. And, you know, so a lot of dysfunction comes when all the parts of that system aren't you know, talking well together. And then we blame the place where the symptom is maybe the pelvic floor. Maybe it's diastasis recti. That's the, you know, that pressure not being managed forward. And so the reason I bring that up is that by that respiratory diaphragm, we have this amazing muscle called the psoas. And that psoas muscle is really our musculoskeletal system's direct connection into our central nervous system. So when we're talking about fight or flight, we anchor the psoas to go into that position to fight or to flee, right? And so that psoas is interacting with our respiratory diaphragm, and it is sensing if we're safe or not, right? And it, you know, it's like the chicken and the egg, which is sensing which. It's all probably sensing each other. But then that pelvic floor is part of that as well. And so as we're breathing, when we're not feeling safe, things are going to react. You know, they say in a very more simplistic way, I don't want to go too deeply into the weeds of all that. I think it's Ina May Gaskin that said our sphincters are shy, right? Like our pelvic, that's just really a way of saying like your pelvic floor is a very intimate part of your body. Why do people tend to do better when we put them on the toilet? That's a place that they're used to relaxing their pelvic floor. You know, it's also a place where we can dim the lights and shut the door and they're feeling safe, right? And so absolutely our pelvic floor, our respiratory diaphragm, that whole system reacts. You know, if you ever felt like if someone walks in the room that kind of stresses you out and you feel kind of your abs start to grip, that's some people too, right? You feel kind of the tension in your body. That's that whole response. And that's our body's designed to need to be able to react, but it becomes chronic issue. And then we see the tension in places like our pelvic floor when we stay there, when we stay in the upregulated state. And so I recently spoke with somebody who I loved how she said it. Her name is Kristen Hosaka. She's a chiropractor. And what she said was, the goal isn't to stay down here. The goal isn't to always be chill and cool and calm. Because like we have stuff in our life that we need to react to. The goal is to be able to upregulate and then, you know, be able to come down after that. And we're really built in during pregnancy. I think it's kind of cool to think about we're building that baby's nervous system. And so them seeing that healthy kind of up and down response of the nervous system was really beautiful for them as well. So yeah, I love the nervous system.
and so huge, the fact that, you know, because the baby's contained in your body and they're listening to that heartbeat and listening to that respiration all the time, they couldn't be more tuned into it than they are, right? Like that is what tells them. So yes, you are building their nervous system. And then when they come out, they talking about the nervous system and how the brain works, they don't even have that part of the brain that can do, you know, cognitive function. That doesn't come on. It comes out slowly throughout the first 3 years. But in that infancy stage of those first 3 years, you are their nervous system. So your ability to that upregulate and downregulate and kind of build that resilience, that it just all circles back together. I love it, Lindsay, of how you want that range of mobility and strength throughout your body, but then you also want it for your nervous system so that you can deal with the stressors in a way that you respond and then you come back to calm. You're not just stuck there.
Yeah, it's like, I think more than balance, I think it's more about like responsiveness. Balance can bring responsiveness, but we want a responsive nervous system. We want a responsive pelvic floor and, you know, abdominals in the front. We just want everything to respond and coordinate and work together. And I think that people, it can feel overwhelming. You're like, oh, I have a lot of stuff to do. But it doesn't have to be. It can be really simple. It can be simple shifts can really make profound differences. And pregnancy, like I said, it's just that opportunity to invite that because we have kind of a looming birth that we want to prep for. And so it's a beautiful opportunity for people to really change their lives. And I really do think, maybe it's cheesy, but my kids changed my lives because for a lot of reasons, but one of them is like, I had to learn these things, right? Because I was worried about my birth and I was worried about my body and my core. So it allowed me, you know, through my own injuries and my own issues, it allowed me to find a better way.
And that's the thing about pregnancy. I love seeing it as an opportunity as well. And you mentioned that too, because it's going to bring up all your stuff.
Oh, yeah. physical, mental, spiritual.
Everything. So yeah. You either face it or you ignore it. But either way, it's going to come up at some point and you're going to have to deal with it. So back to that overwhelm, I think it's really important to highlight how it's the small things, how it's that habit stacking, how you're trying to take little steps that are going to be consistent in your life and also that are sustainable rather than these huge peaks and valleys of I went to the gym for 3 hours and then now I'm sore for 3 days and can't move. And then what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, our body's always going to do what it needs to do to keep us moving through. I think when people hear the word like compensation pattern, like, oh, my body, like something's not working right. That's so cool that your body can compensate to keep you moving through the world, even when some part isn't working well. I have a friend who is working through a knee injury right now and some other parts like overworking. And it's like, that's so beautiful. Like, that's so amazing that we can just move through the world. And we also have the opportunity because we have a lot of amazing practitioners and knowledge and information and help and supports that now there are ways that we know how to help, you know, get past those things. Sometimes people can take this idea of alignment and some parts overworking, some parts underworking and balance, and they can take it, like you said, and they can feel really overwhelmed or they can feel really broken and they start to feel bad. And especially the pelvic floor, like when people have pelvic floor injuries, they feel really shameful about that, but we don't feel ashamed about our knee injury, right? Like it's, to me, it's the same thing. It's not that, oh, I'm such a bad, broken person. It's just like, no, it's just my body is doing the best with what it's been asked to do throughout my life. And now that I have this injury, it's an opportunity for me to make a new story in my body.
And so to bring it all together, we had talked about how to have a happier pelvic floor during pregnancy. And you mentioned having a neutral pelvis is one piece of it, like trying to just be curious about how you move, then giving yourself broader range of movement. And what other things would be helpful?
There's a lot of things. I could talk for hours, but I will say one of the biggest ones is learning how to breathe three-dimensionally into your rib cage. So it sounds silly because you're like, the rib cage is nowhere near the pelvic floor. But I could talk for another hour about the pelvic floor's responsiveness to our breathing. So in really simplistic forms, if you were to just feel your rib cage and you feel there's kind of a, you have your sternum in the front and then you have these, the inside of your rib cage. It's called your infrasternal angle. They can even Google it and I'm showing it, but they probably can't see the video. So we have our infrasternal angle and we also have in our pelvis called the infrapubic angle at the bottom. And so we can get really stuck. Like our ribs often don't move. We wear tight bras. We don't know how to breathe into our ribs. We breathe into our bellies and our chest. And so what happens is we get a lot of restrictions in our rib cage. Interestingly, we can get people stuck in kind of a more wider angle or a more narrow angle. And we see that mirrored in the pubic angle. And so someone who tends to have a really wide angle at top may have a wide angle at the bottom and vice versa. So that's a nerdy way of basically saying if we can get people to breathe into their ribcage and have mobility there, they're also going to have greater mobility in their infrapubic angle, in their pelvic floor. And so I have people just take a strap or even take your hands, wrap them around your ribcage and see if you can breathe not just side to side, but also front to back. Three-dimensional breathing. And so there, you know, if they can't, you know, we can stretch. There's different tissues that can hold those tight. So things like a simple side bend. I have a lot of free resources on our Instagram of different like stretches and tips and things like that. But there's a lot of things you can do to help with that upper body mobility. But the reason I would bring that one up is because upper body mobility is probably one of the most profoundly important yet missed opportunities of preparing the body for birth, because everyone just wants to like stretch their hips, which is amazing and can be helpful, but get those ribs moving. The other one is learn how to hinge at your hips. Learn how to create length in your backside. A lot of people spend a lot of their life in a positive heel where their heel is higher than the toe box. This is creating a shortening length load up that whole chain. which is going to correlate with, you know, going along with some tension in the back of the pelvic floor. And in the bottom of the pelvis, so the bottom of the pelvis, there is a tissue called the sacrotuberous ligament, and the nerds will be like, yeah, I love that ligament. That sacrotuberous ligament is literally part of the pelvic outlet. It's not just bones, it's that ligament. And that ligament is actually fascially connected to the hamstrings, calves, and the bottom of the foot, the plantar fascia. And so when we spend a lot of time in a heeled shoe, we're putting that whole chain in a shortened kind of, it's living in a shortened position. And our body adapts to how we use it. So it goes, oh, you don't need length, cool. And so that's another thing, is just looking at your bra, like getting in a stretchy band and looking at your shoes and getting into and working towards a minimal shoe. And we have exercises and movements, you know, just slowly progress and get there safely. So those two, these are things you can do today to slowly do that. So the bra, the shoes, and then just moving, walking. I just posted a reel about walking uphill, literally is the opposite of a high heel shoe. Right? And so we're giving that a lengthening load. So finding ways to go on a walk, I would say a lot of us spend a lot of time with our legs in front of us. So hip flexion, like when we're sitting, our body really craves hip extension as well. And a lot of people don't have the ability to extend their leg behind them. So instead they take that movement from their back. And so we see a lot of people think they're moving their moving into hip extension, they're actually in back extension. And so just, and that the beautiful thing about this is just learning how your body moves and learning to move it in more varieties of way is also just going to be really beautiful. So those are some like go-to tips that I have for your pelvic floor.
I love it. And I love it that it's things that really connect to how you are going to move your body, and also being aware of your movement interacting with the world around you, the shoes you wear, the angle of the street you walk in, the chair you're sitting in. Like, how are you moving your body in that space, and what impact is it having? And if you love your high heels, see if you can maybe lessen a little bit of the time you spend in the high heels.
Even less of a heel is going to be less of a compensation, right? Like a 3-inch heel versus a 2 versus half an inch.
Yeah.
So it's something, right?
It's definitely something. And doing like the bra and the 3D breathing. I love how it's also fun because it gets you into thinking of different ways of connecting with your body. Like while you were saying it, I was trying to breathe into my front rib and my back rib more than the sides, and doing it. First of all, that feels really strange because we don't do it often. But then also, how my pelvic floor, I could feel it, how my pelvic floor reacted to it and confirmed, yeah, you don't usually do this. What are you doing?
Yeah. A lot of people, the back especially, a lot of people, there's different, like some people will struggle more to breathe side to side and others will struggle more to breathe front to back. But when you find the one that's tricky, like spend some time there for sure, because you will discover some amazing things about your whole body. But yes, your pelvic floor for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I have to say something along that line. When the 3D breathing, remember I said that respiratory diaphragm and that psoas is by each other. So if somebody is freaking out, if you're like, I'm so upregulated, I need to come down. Like I actually just had an experience at a place. I never leave bad reviews. I left them a bad review, but my nervous system was like freaking out. And I was like, how do I come down, right? 3D breathing. Because what do we do when we're stressed out is we do that chest breath. But if we can breathe and just slow down and breathe three-dimensionally, I can signal to my psoas, I can signal to my nervous system like I am safe. And so if we can three-dimensionally breathe, it's a really good skill to have as a parent. I'm parenting teenagers now, so all the 3D breathing, they're amazing, but you need to learn how to manage your nervous system for sure.
So much. Because also there's the part of that we are connected in the sense that reactivity or the down regulation is contagious.
Oh, so true. We like mirror each other.
Right? So the calmer you are when you're parenting, whatever age your child is, the calmer they're going to be. Like you were saying before, it sounds like really simple things that we're asking you to do, but it actually is such a powerful tool for lifelong skills, not just to have a happier pelvic floor during pregnancy, which, you know, also
Yeah.
Both also. And
that's what I like about this stuff, though. It's not like, here's your pelvic floor stuff. Here's your nervous system stuff. Here's your core stuff. It's all kind of the same stuff, which is really makes me feel less stressed out about all the stuff because it's all working on all of it, I guess.
Yes. So I wanted to make sure people understand, like, these things of connection and realizing what your body does is not about healing trauma. It's about working on that down regulation and regulation, but that trauma is a deeper state. And for that, you need to do different kind of work. But these are tools to kind of help you move through that day-to-day life. But I want to clarify that this is like soothing, not healing.
And to go along with that, I would say that some people aren't ready. For example, when I went and taught a yoga class in the women's prison, pre and postnatal, they weren't feeling safe. If I were to give them three-dimensional breathing, like, we got to address some other stuff first, potentially, right? It can actually be jarring for someone who's not ready for that. So I would say if somebody has like a significant amount of trauma to work through, you definitely want to work through that with, you know, someone who's informed, you know, a trauma-informed therapist, etc. But similar to the fact that some people can't meditate, right? It's like, I'm not ready yet to meditate. So there may be some steps to take, but I think everyone deserves a big three-dimensional breath, right? Like, it's going to open up some space, but it could bring some stuff up. So that it's good for people to know if it brings stuff up, it would be important to address that with a trained professional.
Yeah. And if you find that you can't do it, it's not that you have, like, you don't have a breathing problem, right?
No.
It's that you're in a different state that requires a different approach.
And I don't think that there's not one approach that's like best for everyone, right? Like, some people are going to want this trauma release kind of shaking exercise, and someone else that's like not for them at all. And I think that's I think sometimes people think like my way is the way, and I'm here to say like, let's all learn from each other. We're all working to help people feel healthy and happy in their bodies. And there's a lot of different ways to get there, I'd say.
Yeah. And knowing that you are the expert in your body. So like, exactly. your body is going to tell you something different as you explore any of these exercises or any of these tools or any breathing pattern. Like, your body's going to react differently. A client said to me one time, she's like, I wanted to give birth in my hands and knees, but I couldn't because that just felt really vulnerable, showing my backside to all these doctors that I don't completely trust. And like, what an amazing insight of knowing that that's what was happening in the body, that that's where they weren't feeling safe. And then so we brainstormed some ideas of how can we next time get you to birth, or if you want to birth in your hands and on your hands and knees, allow you to do that in a way that also feels safe in your body. So it's more about starting this great exploration.
Yeah, knowing when you're dysregulated, right? When I was dysregulated for years at a time, literally, I didn't realize that I wasn't normal to always feel like I was rushing somewhere. Like, I just assumed that was normal. So when your baseline is upregulated, sometimes you don't even realize until when I was able to finally downregulate, I was like, oh, I'm not rushing. Like, there's no tiger chasing me right now. But for years, there was, so to speak. Like you said, it's about having that awareness. Because now that I'm more regulated, when I have something that you know, brings me up, I can sense that I'm up because it's not my baseline, and I can bring myself down because I've acquired the tools, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So, yeah. It was good for me to have that experience, though, because now I can speak to it. But I think that a lot of us in this society deal with a lot. And think of chronic stress and trauma, racism. There's so much stuff that people have to deal with. And it's not like their fault. It's just we're living in a world that does that to us. And some of us more than others.
Right. Unfortunately, the systems aren't going to change overnight. And we're still going to have all the constant daily stressors that we have in this modern life. So it's just about being able to navigate it better and have more capacity for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm the body nerd, but I've become like the nervous system nerd too, because it controls the body, really. And who am I to just like strengthen and stretch or, you know, do all these tools if my inner world is not healthy, if my nervous system isn't healthy? It's not going to do what I think it's doing as well as I want it to do it.
Right. You end up with band-aid solutions like you were talking right. about earlier. We can go and do body work, but if you change nothing else, that body work is only going to last so long before your regular patterns take over again.
Right.
Same thing for your nervous system.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Lindsay, thank you so very much. Really appreciated having you here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That was exercise physiologist, doula, childbirth educator, and mother of four, Lindsay McCoy, who specializes in pelvic biomechanics for pregnancy and childbirth and the core system pelvic floor. You can learn more about Lindsay and her Body Ready pregnancy, birth, and postpartum biomechanic-based exercise programs at bodyreadymethod.com, as well as connect with her directly on Instagram at bodyreadymethod. And you can also connect with us at Birthful Podcast. In fact, if you are not driving, we would love it if you would take a screenshot of this episode right now, and then just post it to Instagram, sharing your biggest takeaway from the episode. Maybe it was the idea of hinging at your hips while bending forward to brush your teeth, or maybe you had a revelation from your pelvic floor while trying out the 3D breathing as you listen to this episode. Make sure to tag at Birthful Podcast so we can see it and amplify it. You can find the in-depth show notes and transcript of this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me and my birth and postpartum preparation classes, as well as download your free postpartum preparation plan. Also, if you find that this podcast is an invaluable resource for you, then the best way to support us is by taking any one of my perinatal classes, doing one of my doula workshops, or trying out some of the wonderful products made by our sponsors. This is what allows us to continue doing this work. Birthful is created and produced by me, Adriana Lozada, with production assistance from Asia Plati. Thank you so, so very much for listening to and sharing Birthful. Be sure to follow us on Good Pod, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and everywhere you listen. And then come back for more ways to inform your intuition.